Epilogue. When you mention to somebody that you're writing a book, they will usually ask what it's about. Sometimes you can see them regretting the question as you describe the project. This happened to me quite often, I'm sorry to say, when I talked with great enthusiasm about my biography of the 19th century philosopher John Stuart Mill. But it did not happen with this book, not even once. I often barely had time to describe my overall argument before my interlocutor would begin to share their own experiences and opinions and anxieties. I found that many people are really worried about boys and men, including the ones in their own life. Wives are concerned that their husbands won't find decent work. Mothers of teenage sons are forming informal support groups to help each other through the trying time of high school. Young women are frustrated by the rudderless men on the dating market. I was especially surprised that even the staunchest feminists I spoke with seemed much more concerned about their sons than their daughters. I wondered if this was a general pattern. In 2020, I was able to add some questions to the American Family Survey, a 3,000-strong annual poll, to find out. It is. Parents are generally more worried about their sons growing up to be successful adults than they are about their daughters. But it is liberal parents who are the most worried about their sons. There is a deep well of private anxiety about boys and men that has yet to find a productive public outlet. And one of my goals in this book has been to try and bridge the gap between private and public. We are right to be worried about boys and men because they're facing real challenges as learners, as workers, and as fathers. Just as parents want all their children to flourish, so we want all our fellow citizens to flourish. Doing more for boys and men does not require an abandonment of the ideal of gender equality. In fact, it is a natural extension of it. The problem with feminism as a liberation movement is not that it has gone too far. It is that it has not gone far enough. Women's lives have been recast. Men's lives have not. We need, as I said in the introduction, a positive vision of masculinity for a post-feminist world. We also need to be grown up enough as a culture to recognize that big changes, even positive ones, have repercussions. Dealing with these is not only possible, but necessary. That is simply the nature of progress. In this case, it means reforming an education system that no longer works well for boys, and helping men adjust to the genuine dislocation caused by the loss of traditional male roles. We must tackle gender-specific challenges and inequalities in both directions. Right now, there is a distinct lack of responsible leadership on this front. Politics has become like trench warfare, both sides fearing even the slightest loss of any ground. While mums and dads worry about their kids, our leaders are trapped in their partisan positions. Progressives see any move to provide more help to boys and men as a distraction from the fight for girls and women. Conservatives see any move to provide more help to girls and women as motivated by a desire to put men down. My hope is that away from the heat and noise of tribal politics, we can come to a shared recognition that many of our boys and men are in real trouble, not of their own making, and need help.